shoot me now! Oh, shoot me now!
Oh, a sneak attack, eh? I gotta warn you, you're dealing with Scrappy Doo. That's more like it. Yes!
Snake demon? Like, what's the good news?
That is the good news.
Oh?
The bad news is that all images of the demon are cursed.
Cursed?
Cursed?
Oh, yeah? Well, my Uncle Scooby can handle any old snake demon, and he'll just get a hold of you, so he's gonna break you and fuck you in.
How's everybody tonight?
Good.
Fantastic. Very much. Very, very fantastic. It's going to be very interesting.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I will warn you ahead of time, Steve, and the reason why Steve knows this is because he remembers it almost better than I do. What did we get death threats over 15 years
Netflix.
Ago?
Netflix.
Okay. That's what I thought it was. Yeah. That's
somebody well, because we didn't use Hulu.
Right. That's what it is.
I have the email somewhere.
So you got death threats. That shit is need to cover Nisanji more.
Yeah, people literally gave us death threats for not using.
We were talking. Yeah, so back then we were talking about what we were watching and what we were doing and what new streaming services we were using.
Yeah,
and we had I think two different episodes back then about streaming services. It was like Netflix and their crappy failure thing, Quixer, and then Hulu and something else. And This person was like, you don't use Hulu. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. I'm like, really? You're sending us death threats over a streaming service? Really?
Yeah, these people were unhinged.
Yeah, very unhinged.
They were going to different sites too. From like, they're like, "Oh, you don't like Nintendo?" Like they were going after like other people at other websites, and I was like, "These guys are morons."
Somehow I feel like suddenly going, "Ash, come get some."
Right. That's right.
Come get some.
Want some? Come get some.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was stupid though. These people,
you know, absolutely. No,
they're all unhinged. That's the given thing with these guys, man. It's you're never gonna placate everybody. And the thing is, even if you wanted to placate them, do you really want to? I mean,
no.
A lot of these guys are going to complain.
I actually found one of the emails.
Lay on us.
Okay. Yeah. 129. Yeah. 129. 2016.
Oh, it was in 2016. Wow. I thought it was earlier than that.
No. It might have been 2015 from the initial person. I don't have that email particularly, but I sent this email to this other guy. It was telling us that we were bullying his friend.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a very professional email back. I was like, we are unsure why your friend is trolling us. However, we never made an iTunes comment about it. Also, to be fair, some of our staff use Hulu, which is what I know this whole tirade is about. Some use Netflix. The reason we predominantly refer to Netflix is due to the fact most of us use it and the content it has. It has nothing to do with bullying or choosing to neglect the other streaming service. Nor have we ever said ill of those services. Why your friend continuously bullies us about it is beyond us. We would like to stay mutual in the whole affair. Also, in effort to communicate fairness, we ask that you and your friend write to us in courteous and fair manner. We can hardly and effectively read your feedback when half of the words are misspelled and the grammar is broken. I don't understand the ending of your comments. Thanks for understanding. So he says, you misunderstood or misundersound.
misunderstood.
Yeah, he says, and then he sends me a second email and he goes, you misunderstood. He was labeled. That as bullying, since it's as and though back to what the kids on playground was doing, since he was a Nintendo kid and only ones in the school to have a computer and the internet. Literally, this is like verbatim what the guy wrote. And then so like after that, we never heard back until 4 months later when the same moron emails back and goes, this site is foul shows not on disc. DVDs are blurry. Pay and own Ike iTunes or any canal to me streaming Stuvis. I says, and
wow,
so
this is a real grammar major here. Uh-huh. But he went to college.
I don't know. I still have the email from this person. Like the exact email address. It's a Gmail, by the way. Because they were mentioning Kiss cartoons, but as like the thing, but it was like not actually in the email. And then I was like, thanks, you know. And then they're like, didn't know you knew we about it. I like it since there are many cartoons I can't view anywhere else until there on disc pen iTunes or Hulu. Once I get them, one of them, I unbookmark that cartoon.
Oh, it hurts my head.
So is he like trying to serenade you? I mean, he was very hardcore.
Like, it, notice Hulu still got in there.
Because this is astonishing. This kind of language is just astonishing. I mean, I feel like if I was his grammar teacher, I would have slapped him around a few times and made him read the dictionary. Jeez.
Just figure out what email did this guy send to? Oh, he sent it to feedback. So I wonder if it's still.
He's gonna go.
I wonder if I still have it.
I mean, okay. So when you think about this lunacy, I get that. I got that for a while when YouTube was promoting my Starfield short, how I said on my show with you guys, I will never beep beep another Bethesda game again, because this is not the most innovative game of the year. And I remember being roasted for it. Granted, it was pretty darn hilarious at the end of the day. But yeah, there was those that were like ready to fall on the sword of Bethesda. How dare you say this? They're ready to start crying. And I'm just like, why? I can have my opinion, and I'm sorry, but the game sucked. I don't know what to tell you.
This is why when we had I don't have it unfortunately, because I think this email only goes back to 2018 because we switched web hosts.
Right.
But yeah, I had fun reading. I don't know why I saved it, but I think it's still humorous. It's still there. But we used to get all kinds of weird threats, though. We used to get them on iTunes. We used to get emails. We used to get comments on the website. Yeah. I can't even remember all of the idiocy that used to come our way.
Mm-hmm.
It was mind-boggling the level of stupid we would get sometimes. And then that's why Mike and I used to go on rants, like calling these people out in the middle of a show. And then, then after a while, we're like, I don't care.
Sometimes
and we used to record headshot
show though.
Well, we did.
You got to do the. You can't just tell him it's headshot. You got to really do it.
Headshot. I mean, you got to monetize your haters.
That's right. I wish
monetize those haters, man.
Oh man.
It was just funny. But that's also why Headshot's not online anymore, is because I don't need that kind of publicity with the way people are today.
Oh, the cancel culture. No. Oh yeah. So
well, you mean I don't need to lose my job because of something I said like 15 years ago.
Yeah. Or well, it could be worse. It could be like Nasanji. You say talk anything about Nasanji on YouTube right now because there's a big scandal going on with the VTuber world and all that stuff. Let's put it this way. Right now, if you say anything, then they're canceling you. They're swatting your house, calling them and swatting you.
God.
And just all sorts of crap.
That still happens?
Yes. More people often than you.
People more are dumb, man.
People like, are unhinged.
Like, and literally, people don't have a, like, moral compass anymore. Like, they have no concept of time. They have no concept of what they're doing. Like, they don't care who they hurt. They're like, burn the world down. They offended me.
Yep.
I guess I've just gotten to the point after 15 and a half, 16 years, 16 years for me and 15, almost 15 years for the network. I just don't care anymore. Like, am I sad when something sad in the world happens? It's a real tragedy. Yeah, absolutely. Can I feel emotion? Yeah, absolutely. But generally, like, if it's not directly affecting me, I don't give a shit.
I mean, I pretty much just, I just leave it alone unless I really, really care.
Yeah. Oh God, we have this. So I pay for this only because I get something in return. For I get those. You guys, I think I've shown them to you. They're the I support Slapshot Pops on YouTube, and they have a Patreon program, and they send you every month. They send you a puck and whatever. It's a little foam hockey puck thing. So it's mainly because of that. But because I am one of their patrons, I have access to their Instagram chats with the blue team. Mm-hmm. Is the team that I'm on. And there's a guy in there that is just so overwhelmingly positive and so asinine as far as, like, he likes things half the rest of the people don't like, or this or that or whatever, or he would rather spend money on one thing, but he won't spend money on something he really wants. And I'm just like, he's just one of those people that you just, oh God, my head.
Yeah. That is the norm. I mean, that's the norm with everything.
Fortunately.
Yeah, I just get what I want.
Yup.
I mean, I've come at that point in my life. I'm just like, I'm going to get what I want. And if it doesn't work, that's on me. But I at least got it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, there's always that whole thing of, if I can't have my way, I go out of my way to try to make sure I destroy your life. And that is a norm in today's society. And it's, in my opinion, social media has created this weird universe where these people that think they are marauding heroes of some screwed up social justice will turn around and go right at you and right at everybody else. And they don't have any accountability. They're not afraid of it. And part of it is because, okay, let's be real. Probably most of them don't hold a job. Most of them are probably sitting there, I hate using this term, but welfare recipient, that they can sit in mom's basement collecting a check and sit there and type on the keyboard and be the armchair warrior.
Yep.
And
the armchair warrior.
Yeah, it's so true. And I don't understand why we can't. There's no such thing as civil discourse anymore.
Mm-mm. No, because people don't go by what I usually go by and what Steve normally goes by, but he doesn't say it the way I say it.
No, I know what you're going to say.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. Look, I can. Steve and I have disagreed on things a lot
many times
in the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're still best friends. At the end of the day, like, we've never gotten to a point where it's like, oh.
It's like, I still think Scrappy-Doo is bad, but,
God,
but honestly, he's better than any of the modern cartoons, so I have to give him props, because he doesn't suck in that regard.
There you go.
No.
He's got more cojones than any of the modern cartoons do.
But think of it this way. It's okay to disagree with friends. It's okay to disagree with people. Yeah. we have forgotten in modern society, it's okay to disagree. It's okay to not like something. It's okay to think Marvel's garbage. It's okay to just not like what you see. And somehow society's changed things where if you dislike Disney because of bad shows, you've got a lot of problems all of a sudden, and people try to cancel you, and they'll try to make your life a living hell. And they forget the fundamental thing about it, which is we all want something good in life, and we all want something to escape the politics of the world. If you flip on the TV or you flip on the internet nowadays, and I'm just saying flip on, it's literally the first page is politics, second page, politics, third page, politics, fourth page, politics. I am so exhausted with modern drama. I can understand why people feel like there is like literally no hope in the world. And maybe that's why when you go to the doctor's office, I don't know if you guys have had this with the doctor. Do they ever say, are you feeling hopeless or depressed or any of this?
Ask that every time I go in. I'm like, if I was, I probably wouldn't tell you because you would put me on a mental list. I'm not. Like, I mean, I've got plenty going on in my life that I don't hate it. Like, it's, I feel like people focus too much on negative, watch too much news, and, you know, just don't. I mean, yeah, I can hate stuff with pop culture or hate stuff with politics or things like that, but honestly, it doesn't, from like my day to day, does it ruin my life? No. Because I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to enjoy what I enjoy, and I'm not going to like let it bother me. But there's a lot of people that just like, they literally will let it ruin their entire existence.
And that is so true.
And the thing is that we have like, do I suffer from depression? Yes. Does it happen all the time? No, not all the time. And usually for me, usually how I get it to go away or get my brain to reset is I'll take a nap or I'll go to sleep for the night and just wake up for the next day and restart the whole day. Next new day, new things, new whatever. So it's like, I don't, most world. Of the time, yeah, most of the time, I don't let it dwell. My family suffer from depression. Did my mom? Yeah, absolutely. But, is it hereditary? Sure. Why not? Whatever. But like, I'm not going to, like, I have come to realize, and I've also curated my social media, so I don't, unless I'm looking for it, I don't see any of the crap I don't, that I know is going to, quote unquote, trigger me to want to whatever. Like this guy I was talking about that's in that chat. Like today, I wrote out comments that I was going to reply to his thing, and I'm like, nope, I can't. I can't do this. I have to just delete this and not say anything and just walk away because
it's like, can't contribute to it. It's just noise.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. By the way, just thought. Mm-hmm. So some of this is actually good. Are we using any of this?
For sure. We can throw an intro at the beginning and then.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Before we continue, you're listening to Altered Geek.
That's the pre-show, folks.
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Adam Mastriani, and you're listening to Altered Geek.
Arg.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
He's yes. Steve Megatron. I'm TFG with Mike, and holy crap.
This is the Dragon Lord Kai.
Yeah, pause. I was going to say pause for dramatic effect because I actually have a Dragon Roar sound effect that I'm going to put in, and people would have already heard it at this point.
That's amazing. I was just thinking, God, this is some good conversation. Oh my God, are we please tell me we're using it.
Dude, but I record everything, and I use most things. I mean, I use everything, but I use most things.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you say around Mike.
Always recording.
My check. I'm sending my check in the mail, Mike. Don't worry. Don't worry. I mean,
I got to make sure it doesn't bounce.
As long as I'm paid in advance. I don't accept checks.
Well, I can't guarantee that. Have you seen today's prices for food? I mean, check may bounce, buddy.
That's what she said.
That's right.
She did.
This is episode 427, and this was an idea I had because we've talked about it before, and Steve and I recently have talked about this off air, and I'm like, this would kind of make a good topic for Altered Geek. Why don't we do it? And he's like, okay, fine. Because most of the time, if I have a good idea, he'll allow it.
I roll.
But streaming.
I says that's how I roll.
That's how he rolls. Streaming services exhaustion.
I'm exhausted. Can I go home now?
Yes.
I'm so tired of the streaming services, but you know, I've talked about this for a while that at some point you're going to have Peacock, Paramount, Max, Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix, probably more are going to pop up at this rate. You're exhausting people, and as they're all raising their prices because they can't handle for some reason making any money because they don't know anything about apparently joint ventures, partnerships, and working together, which modern corporations don't understand that. They each one of them wants, you know, $15-$20 for a subscription if you want the ad free stuff. If you get three or four of them, you're paying just as much as cable with the pay channels.
It's like that Captain Planet thing. And it's got like all of them calling out different streaming services, and it goes, by your powers combined, I am as expensive as cable.
That's right.
I remember back in the day, we had an episode of Geekcast Radio, I believe. About, you know, a la carte and streaming services.
Yep.
Oh, that was so long ago. But I remember asking for an a la carte option way back when. And
so this is all your fault. This is all your fault.
Remember, though, I predict the future.
I can see the future, too.
Yeah. The future
it really sucks right now. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like we're going to hit this point, though, where they're all going to end up kind of colliding again back into one beast.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of almost are, sort of. I mean, Kai just mentioned Peacock and Paramount potentially making a deal. And I'm sitting here thinking, holy crap, if NBC Universal and whoever the Comcast technically makes a deal, if Comcast and Paramount make a deal, hey, as long as it's still included with my Walmart Plus subscription, I don't have to pay for it, I'm fine, I'm all right. But still, seriously, like, I'm making a deal and everybody else making a deal, and like, holy crap. It's crazy.
But the problem is, they're wheeling and dealing and all this. It's going to happen, but the same issue is just going to happen over and over. Let's take Netflix, for example. Yahoo News, as of today, 2/27, there was an article in Finance today that literally stated Netflix, whom just already did a price hike, is getting ready to do another one because of their wonderful shows, which, speaking of which, has there really been any wonderful shows? I haven't really seen anything. I'm just like, okay, you know, we need something better. That, I mean, everywhere you go, all these shows are everywhere, and you have to hunt for them. And sometimes Netflix is complete miss on all shows for that month. And Paramount is good for a couple months. And I'm just tired of bouncing back and forth. I liked it back in the old days when Netflix was the big dog in town. They had Disney movies, Marvel movies on it. All this stuff on there. And sure, they just paid royalties to Disney and all that. I want to go back to that, maybe one or two streaming services, and just stop drowning in this. Pay $20 a month for a ton of selection. No more raises. No nothing. Life is great. Is it going to happen?
Never.
No.
No.
They've got a taste of it. They ain't letting it go.
Nope.
Yeah, we did an episode. This is dating it way back, 2009, Geekcast Radio episode 3. We did like television technology, and talked about, you know, TV and DVD and that kind of content. And then episode 9 was in 2010.
Yep.
Pre-10, 2010. Why has network TV gone down the tubes?
Yep. Pretty much.
But it's just funny because we went on the rant there, and then we went on a rant about, you know, Netflix stuff and Quixtar and all these other ones like in 2011, and then another one in 2011 from different, you know, mediums and the evolution of TV and everything. It's honestly quite funny that we're where we are today.
That is very much so.
It's wild. Disappointing,
but yeah.
And here's my thing. Like, my biggest thing with streaming services is I will pay your subscription price as long as it's ad-free. That's the whole thing with me and subscription services is whatever your price is, as long as you have content I want to consume. And honestly, right now, Netflix has two things. I can't believe that, you know, normally I'm paying whatever the price is now. I don't even know, $25, $26 a month, whatever it is, for two movies that are on Netflix that I wish were actually on physical media so I could just watch those movies and never have to be on Netflix again unless I absolutely had to. Six Underground and The Adam Project. That's it. Yeah. Hulu has numerous shows and movies that come back and forth, and it has a lot of the true crime stuff I watch. Discovery Plus, I will always be subscribed to Discovery Plus because it has all of the investigation Discovery stuff that I've, all the true crime stuff that I watch, so that's fine. But like Steve was saying, like you were saying, Kai, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a streaming service. Like, seriously, it's everywhere. And, right, but yeah, and Disney Plus, this plus, that plus, whatever, minus, whatever, whatever, whatever. It's only, and I know this is probably going to happen, it's only a matter of time before Disney envelopes Hulu into Disney Plus somehow, some way. I know that they do the Disney bundle with Hulu now, or they have been. I don't know how much longer Hulu is going to be, but it is on its own. Outside of the Disney
Plus. Not much longer.
Yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
Disney, well, the reason why is Disney's trying to consolidate all its power because, you know, of those high quality shows Disney's been releasing for the past several years and spending all this money on their streaming program that they didn't realize didn't work well post pandemic. And they've stuck to this. So you got all these shows, Loki and WandaVision, all this stuff that they just gurgitated out there. Instead of focusing on good quality movies, they just sat there and threw out all this stuff on their streaming service. Well, people come in, binge watch it. Okay, they lock it behind. They'll do one episode a month or month, week, whatever the hell it is. And next thing you know, okay, I'll just wait till it's all released on Disney Plus. Watch it for a month, then unsubscribe.
Yep.
Why stick around?
Yep.
What value have you offered me And that's one thing that none of them will ever be able to explain is what my money's worth a lot, just like yours, just like Steve, just like everyone else. We have to figure out how much we're spending, what we're spending. And unfortunately, the out-of-touch corporate suits don't really understand this.
Well, and this is the thing, too. And, like, I work in an industry where subscriptions are a thing. Like, but it's a service. It's not necessarily, like, a, you know, streaming or any of that kind of stuff. Part of the issue with a lot of these subscriptions are people are getting just fatigue in general. Like, our money is not going as far. Like, just people are kind of upset with just having to spend more money. But the thing is people are fine spending the money. Give them more value. Don't take things away. Give them things. Like, you're more likely to retain people and keep them if you don't keep jacking the price up. If you give them more value, if you show them that they can't live without your service. And in most cases, these platforms are like, oh, come back to us. We have great platforms. We have all of these shows that nobody wants to watch because they're new and they're trash. If you've noticed, Netflix has started doing original series that are more family friendly.
Yeah.
They've gotten away from some of the stuff that's a little controversial. They've gotten stuff that people are more likely to want to watch because they're not getting the dollars otherwise.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's very wise that they're pivoting. Plus, especially with all of these other platforms decidedly creating their own, even though I think that we need more of the third party stuff and less of the ones run by the companies themselves, because they're like, oh, I can ditch this show and get a tax break. I can delete this show and get a tax break. I can do, you know, it's just not, it's not beneficial to anybody involved other than the stakeholders and those that.
It's not even, and it's not even really beneficial to them when you're throwing away two films that are practically pretty much completed. Mr. Bowser.
Oh, like the Willow series. It was garbage. It was garbage, but
Wile E. Coyote by, you know, verse Acme, and then
it could have been Wise Staffy. We could be Wile E. Coyote right now. I hate to be political, but relief! Coyote versus Acme!
And then you get Batwoman.
Yeah, that was a surprising one that they just said, yep, we're scrapping that too. Granted, they must have really dreaded that it was going to be hot garbage, but if you knew it was going to be hot garbage to begin with, why did you even make it?
Why did you greenlight it?
Yeah, I mean, that to me sounds like a boneheaded move that they did, and then they were trying to recover from it. And they never did, which, unfortunately, that's typical Hollywood for you.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, bouncing around from streaming service is fine. You used to be able to bounce around from cable package to cable package. Talk to Steve about cable packages, man. I mean, dude would get locked in for 2 years, and then 2 years later, he would literally turn it off and then get it back. That's the other thing. That's a whole other conversation we can have about brand loyalty. New customers, come get this new best deal. Customers that have been with us for 10 years or more, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's just the way that it is. And it just sucks. And the thing about, which we will talk about next week, about some of these shows and stuff, but shows, man, like, I don't know what the metric is for. I used to know what the metric was for television, for new television shows. If your show got good Nielsen ratings in the first week and a half to 2 weeks or whatever it was, you were at least got a full first season. If your show consistently did good in the Nielsen ratings, you may have gotten a second, third, fourth, or fifth season, depending on whatever. Now, with streaming, I don't know what the metrics are now.
So that's the thing is Netflix and all these streaming platforms don't have to report it to Nielsen. And Nielsen is actually being kind of shoved to the wayside.
Yes. And it's a relic of the past.
And I don't disagree with it. Like, I do understand it, and I do feel like it's warranted to kind of do away with it, because I feel like it's kind of stupid. Oh, we're going to mail you something in the mail and say, hey, rate your favorite shows and rate your favorite radio and rate your favorite this and that, the other thing. And it's kind of biased from the get-go, depending on who, you know, I don't know who they're sending that crap to. And the other thing is, I mean, they've already handpicked a lot of the stuff for you when they send it to you. So it's kind of already rigged.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cause I've been on the receiving end of like answering the question. So I've, you know, gotten the $5 bill mailed to me, which is kind of stupid, but.
Oh no. Like, you want to know what's even more stupid? I remember 1991. You were a Nielsen household. My mom got something from Nielsen. Mm-hmm. $3 $1 bills. We got $3 in 1991. And I'm like, ooh, cash in an envelope. Wait a minute. This isn't $3 $100 bills. This is $3 $1 bills. What's going on here? But I mean, the whole thing with Nielsen to me is that, like I said, if it did well in the ratings, because TV and radio and all, it's dependent. It's always been dependent upon ratings ever since the beginning of TV and radio.
Right.
The thing to me is, like, if we're going to do away with Nielsen, we need some sort of something. We need some sort of gauge, because no, these new shows, like you're talking about the Willow show. Like, I don't even care. I'm just going to say Willow as just insert show name here gets one season or one episode. Like, they can't let things exist unless it's making the money. That's the problem. Correct. Because they can't, don't let it go long enough to see if it's going to make money. You can't, look, you can't make $1 billion overnight. You just can't in TV. I mean, maybe you can, you know, whatever. But I don't know. It's just, my biggest problem with it is that they don't give stuff enough of a chance. And if I'm not given enough of a chance to try something, why am I going to try it? Why am I going to watch this new show that I'm going to get invested in, and then all of a sudden sweep the leg or rip the rug out from under me? Whatever. I'd rather go back to a show that I know is already either completed or already canceled and watch that. Take any of the 80s comedies, take any of the 90s, whatever. It, you know, they're all
done. I mean, you're not wrong. Completed.
Yeah.
You're not wrong at all on that. And I think that's, it's so frustrating, because I look at all these prices. And like Netflix, I haven't watched Netflix in since Cobra Kai, whenever the hell that was, the last season, I think over a year. I keep it for my family, because when I have guests, they come watch it. Mm-hmm. But it's just getting more and more of a hassle. I watch Max more than I do Netflix, but that's only when they have the shows that I'm looking for. Paramount, my mom got that because she wanted to watch the NFL playoff game that was exclusive to streaming service, which, by the way, is the stupidest thing I can see. I mean, it's also clever because you can manipulate the markets to force you to watch it if you really give a damn about the playoffs. But at the same time, except most of us don't care to it, or they're not even taking consideration the people that are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that still are functional human beings that can still get around, and they're just not as tech savvy. They don't have computers, or they don't use computers as much. I know I have to help my folks in their 60s with computers and smartphones and stuff, because they don't understand what they're doing.
Yep.
And you're trying to tell these people, oh, you're going to have to go to streaming services, when they're used to their analog antennas or their cable. It's just, I know that also causes problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you mentioned about the NFL and Paramount and streaming exclusive games on streaming, sir. And I know Steve doesn't give a rip about this, and honestly, nope. I don't anymore either, because, well, you know what I'm going to bring up.
Yes.
I've been out of this since right before the pandemic, but WWE, He had the WWE Network. Okay, fine. Yes, it's another streaming service. Whatever. It's another cost. Whatever. He had that for years. And then they sold out to Peacock, NBC, Comcast, whatever. And now they're going to completely remove Monday Night Raw from actual televised television and put it on Netflix? They just signed a deal. I'm like, wait, what? Nope, not uh-uh.
It's wrong. I mean, no matter which way you spin it, the fact that they're going about that way, it is wrong. There's in some ways, in my opinion, there is still a corporate obligation to make sure everybody has fair access to a product. Mm-hmm. But a lot nowadays, they don't like the money and they don't understand why. Then they start losing money. And then we get the waterworks of boo, hoo, hoo. I'm going broke and I don't understand why. And then thinking to myself, because you guys kicked yourself in the nards.
Yep, pretty much. One of the things I will champion all the time now, even though it is online, is Tubi TV. It's free.
Until they do away with it, because a lot of those free ones are run by the paid services. So, like, Amazon runs a program called Freevee.
Freevee, yeah.
And they're doing away with that in April.
Are they really?
Yes.
I remember when that debuted, where they're like, look, it's Freevee, it's this, it's that. And again, new shows and then...
So it's funny because they framed it in such a way that they're like, we're going to have, you know, all of this stuff. And they mention it for advertisers. Cause I'm in that kind of world now. Amazon's like, oh, sign up for it because you'll get it with your advertising package, you know, blah, blah, blah. And people will see it. And it's like, well, no, they won't, because you're getting rid of it.
I had a coworker today that was telling me, and I didn't have a chance to substantiate it, but I will say it, that apparently, like, Verizon, because of this whole weird thing going on with Disney Plus and Hulu, Verizon, to cover their cost or something, is going to be charging people $4 more unless they upgrade their plans now. I'm like, why do we keep price gouging? I'm like, this has got to stop at some point.
So this is from CNET. As you were talking about this, to just substantiate it, Verizon price increase, why your phone bill may be higher, blah, blah, blah. Starting March 1st, Verizon customers on select older unlimited mobile plans will see a monthly plan increase of $4 per line effective in their next billing cycle. I'm looking for the other. Yeah, it's mainly for their plan. It's for their actual phone plans. It's not to do streaming stuff, I don't think.
Interesting. It was strange to me because I had got that from a coworker, and I said, well, I'm going to have to read more into this, because I was like, that's really awkward if that's really the case.
Yeah. So and again, folks, this article from CNET will be in the show notes because I'll put it in there, but it continues to say, the move is the latest Verizon price increase, with the carrier previously raising rates on some of its older unlimited plans last summer, while also adding in new fees for other plans. In 2022, it raised the prices on its shared data plans. Plans that previously got a rate hike will not be seeing another increase with this move. As with its other price increases, the move seems designed to push users to switch to some of its recent My Plan, quote-unquote My Plan, unlimited plans. So basically, what they're telling us is, if you've been a Verizon customer for the last decade and you're on an old unlimited plan, so you have unlimited minutes or unlimited data or unlimited whatever, you're going to get charged $3 or $4 more just because you have that old plan, whereas let's get you on a new plan, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you're going to put me on a new plan, and I'm not with Verizon at all, so I can...
Oh, really?
I'm not with Verizon. Hell no.
I'm so used to everybody being on that stuff.
Oh. I use Boost because it's cheap.
Yeah. I use Xfinity Comcast because it was built in 2021 when I had to move and had to change everything out of both mine and Karen's name into just my name. So I stayed with Xfinity. I got a Pixel 6 Pro, and I've just been with Xfinity this whole time for mobile. I haven't been a Verizon customer since, I think, 2007, maybe? But the point is they're doing what I was saying earlier about, oh, old customers, new customers, blah, blah, blah. Here's how we're going to reward your loyalty. We're going to increase the prices on you and not give you any deals. That's essentially what this reads to me as. They want the older plans to be upgraded to the recent My Plan Unlimited plans. Unlimited Ultimate, Unlimited Plus, and Unlimited Welcome. These new plans don't come with included streaming services like the Disney Bundle or international data roaming days, but instead lets you add them as a $10 per month per... No! Oh my God. Verizon, no, don't, and stop.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh,
the more you know.
Does your head hurt yet?
My eyes about to start twitching. It's not even Dragon Lair night, folks. We're on Altered Geek. This is Steve's show. My eyes about to start twitching, reading. Oh my God.
So funny story with my internet company, Cox Cable.
Oh boy.
I had them for about 9 years.
For itself?
It's COX, thank you very much.
I know, that's the same thing with like Hasbro CEO.
Oh, even worse. So I was with them for 8 years. I had their giga speed internet garbage. Never had a gigabyte internet speed. My download speed was, or upload speed was only 15. Download maybe got up to 300. I call all the time and complain. I go out, they'd do something and it would work for like 2-3 days and I'd get close to a gig. And then suddenly it was gone again. And it was brand new connections. They ran a line directly to my computer from outside. So there was no splitters or anything. And every time someone's wrong, oh, well, we're going to have to come in your house and we're going to have to charge you money to come in. I said, no, 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 no. I am supposed to get guaranteed internet service. It comes in from the wall. You go out and check the pole. And then every time I complain, a couple days would be fine. Well, what made it worse is I'd been with them for a while. So they started taking me off all these promotion plans and didn't offer me anything. They'd call me to just say, hey, we want to add cable to your thing. They wouldn't offer me anything for my internet. And then they started throwing in data caps, which I became a full-time content creator as well. And next thing you know, I'm getting these extra bills and like, what the hell? Data caps? So I had to call them and then pay an extra $70 a month for them to remove it. So by the time I was done just paying for internet with Cox, I was paying $180 a month. And I was fed up.
Not surprised.
So
yeah,
I was at Sam's Club, AT&T, which I know can be a garbage company depending on where you're at. I think it was Ruggles who said he had a hard time with AT&T.
AT&T does suck. Like, I would take Comcast in a heartbeat over them.
Yeah. And so they said $81 will offer you 1 gig upload, 1 gig download. I said, really? $81. Data caps? No? I made the switch immediately. And I have had working internet for 3 years here, maintaining the same level of speeds unless we get a terrible storm. And the day I called Cox, they said, please, please don't leave us. What can we do? What can we do? They called me 8 times. I kid you not. At work. Mm-hmm. What can we do? What can we do? We'll take $10 off. I said, you guys should have been working with me since day one. I've been a loyal customer. And they're like, well, yeah, but... And that's
something that I am a big proponent of is... honor the ones that have built you. Like, I work in marketing now. Like, I understand it, but I also understand the consumer standpoint. It's like, give, at least if you're going to raise the price, give some other added perks that are actually helpful. Comcast, mm-hmm. they raised the price. They're like, well, we have a rewards program. And I'm like, yeah, for raffles to get stuff. I'm like, that does nothing for me. I'm like, and they're like, well, we have, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, your stuff is garbage. I'm like, that's why I unenrolled. It's like, it's not useful at all.
Yeah.
And like, you know, or throw your customers a bone, you know, instead of waiting until their promotion ends, be like, hey, we got this new promo. Would you like to sign up for it? Sure. You know,
because then if they, like, if they, yeah, because then if they offer you the new promo, that locks you're
hang
you
around.
In for another, yeah, that locks you in for another 2 or 3 years because you have a better price.
Well,
and you're getting it's like, sign me up.
Well, and this is the thing. Comcast is like pretty much the only game in town that's actually worth signing up for. We've got like CenturyLink and some other ones that are crap around here. And there's municipal ones now being popping up all over the place. And that's one thing I got to give the local government. They do not put up with companies BS when it comes to their price hikes and, you know, monopolies. Especially out here. And so some of the local towns have built their own ISPs. Like they're their own internet service nice. Providers and their services run by the city, which, okay, like it's debatable because, you know, it's government run. So, mm-hmm. but it's not like they can't get their grubby hands in Comcast pocket either.
Right.
So, but they have a one-time, you know, it's like a one cost per month, doesn't go up, doesn't go down fee for the internet. And it's gig up and gig down for home users.
Mm-hmm.
And for businesses, it's like 10 up and 10 down. And it's run by the local governments. My town does not have it. I've been in communication, however, with the town over that does have it. I actually met one of the reps at a marketing meeting like a week or two ago. And I said, you know, it'd be really nice if you guys got that out here because I hate Comcast. And they're like, and I said, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is, yeah, they give you decent download speeds. Like Comcast, I get 220 or something megabyte download speeds. My upload speeds are 10. It's like it should parallel itself. Like it should be uniform across the board, because even if your download speeds are fast, if your communication upward is not, it makes no lick of difference. So like, and I think it's like $70 a month to get the gig up and down. And I would honestly sign up for it if it was out here. But I mean, I pay $50 a month for what I got because Comcast is like, yeah, that's the best we can do unless you get cable. And I'm like, I don't want cable.
Yeah.
They're like, well, what about a phone? I'm like, dude, I'm paying like $20 a month per line for unlimited data on my phone lines. I'm not switching. Like, it's like there's literally no package you can offer me other than just giving me a discounted internet price because your guys' service sucks. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, it does work. But for the speed disparity, like the difference in the upload and download speed for what we're paying, it's kind of ridiculous because it's not keeping track with, you know, modern internet society.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they really don't. They don't understand that. And that's.
They don't care.
No. I mean, I was with Progressive for 6 years and
I just signed up with them because State Farm sucks.
You know, the sad part is all insurance companies suck. And one way or another, it's like I fire them. I was with Progressive, though, for 6 years. And I got tired of them raising rates every year. And they couldn't find me any price breaks or anything. And at that point, I just said, guys, I'm out. That was the first company that's like, okay, thank you, bye. And I'm just thinking to myself, wow.
Yeah, they're not any more loyal to you than you are to them. They do not care.
And that is why I don't believe anymore in the whole sticking brand loyalty is just garbage.
Now, I will say this. If you're dealing with small businesses and not a corporate conglomerate, you're more likely to get somewhere.
Correct.
Because I work for a local, you know, business chain, you know, 13 locations type thing, and expanding along the way. And we do try to retain people. We do try and throw them a bone. We do try and, hey, we got this special, or we got this thing going on that, you know, you could actually save more if you paid, you know, for a year in advance, or, you know, things like that. And it's like, and then we're trying to educate people on, like, you know, this is the value you get, because some people are just like, I don't listen to the terms and conditions. I don't, you know, pay attention to stuff. And so it's very much, but you have to show them the value of why you're paying for it. Like, you can't just, we don't care. Like, why, like, show them why they need you.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why, like, I value, like, smaller businesses as opposed to, like, bigger ones, because the bigger ones get bigger. And, of course, look at them now. They're all suffering.
They are.
Which means that it's time for the indies and the time for the small businesses to grow and to take them over, more or less. Because they're not in tune with the people, with the communities, with, you know, they just don't understand it.
And I agree with you on that. And there was an article I did see earlier out there that they think we're getting ready to have another game drop, especially with Sony not releasing any new major hits for over a year now. So there's a severe drought. And they are now predicting that gaming AAA games are getting ready to take a massive crash. And as you said, it's time for indies. I think you're going to see more indies.
And I mean, do you remember the 90s? We used to have, like, we had Broider Bun. We had, like, you know, like all these, there were so many different companies that were out in the 90s that are not here anymore. Like Mindscapes, Apogee, you know, I mean, there were so many different companies that were producing content back in the 90s and the late 80s, and most of them aren't around anymore, or their properties have been bought up by bigger conglomerates, and they've either A, squandered it, or, you know, did the Disney route, oh, we're going to reinvent it, and then they destroyed the entire essence of what it used to be, and people are like, screw this noise.
So
I'll play the old stuff. Which kind of plays into the next episode topic.
Yes, it will. So I don't know if it's still a case. I don't think it is. I could be wrong. It's been 25 years since I graduated high school from Louisville, Kentucky. So, but back then in 98 and 99, when I was in junior and senior year of high school, we had a TV show we did in the media class, and it was kind of run the school through Intermedia Cable, which at that time, Intermedia Cable was the cable company in Louisville, Kentucky. And then it became Insight Communications. And then Insight Communications, guess what? Got bought up by Comcast. And now it's all, you know, so yeah, exactly. Going from local to mobile, it's like, I'm just,
It makes your head spin.
Yeah. Things that make you go,
Yeah.
It really does. Just, you're like, wow.
Wow.
And I get it. There are some people out there that don't mind bouncing around from service to service, but if I'm going to be a loyal customer of your service, like Hulu or Disney Plus or Discovery Plus, any of them, and you have, like, Disney Plus has plenty of content I want to watch. Most of it's because I'm podcasting, because I'm, you know, reviewing the content or whatever, but has plenty of content I want to watch, but it's just like, oh, eventually I'll get it again next week or whatever the hell it is. But it's like, yeah, I just wish we had one platform where everything could just be. Or two platforms where it's not whatever, but it's never going to be that way again, because you have all these companies. If that Paramount Peacock thing happens, like I said at the beginning of the show, as long as it's still covered under my Walmart Plus subscription. That's all I care about. Yeah. If that happens, though, that's going to be crazy.
It's going to be a game breaker, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It's essentially NBC and CBS teaming up to take to try to take Disney down.
Yeah. And
CBS and
Disney's already been getting a lot of kicks to the face lately, so this is just another one that they get.
I hear some of the Disney investors think AI is going to save Disney.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Disney needs a like enema at this point.
Disney needs a vision, and they haven't seen a vision in.
That's because they've been buying the vision. They don't understand. they buy the visions. They don't understand what to do with it when they have it.
No, they don't. Absolutely. And that's why I haven't been a subscriber to Disney Plus. I think what did it for me was when I saw what Disney Plus was doing behind the scenes with like the Gina Carano thing, which I didn't really care much at first, but just the internal harassment you were seeing on Twitter by employees and stuff, and it's just really weird situation that I saw on there, because I was, you know, I eavesdrop on those channels or those Twitters because I'm always curious, well, what's going to happen next? And I found it fascinating that was the direction suddenly everybody was going with it. And I was like, this is crazy that all this drama is just nonstop happening, because there's this weird, how do I want to put it? I almost want to call it, we're trying to kiss people's butts as much as we can under the false pretext. I'm choosing my words carefully here. Under a false pretext, and they have alienated all their main loyal viewers that they've had for a very long time.
Yeah, when you alienate viewers and things like that, Kai, look at your watch.
Look at my watch?
What's your watch say? When you alienate viewers and things like that. I'm
setting set to zero on the give a shit meter.
Huh? That's right. Absolutely. If you're going to alienate us, why would we give two craps? Yeah, the Gina Carano thing was crazy. And don't harass people at work at all. Don't harass people in general. But like, oh my God, just so
I didn't understand that craziness. I still crazy. To this day don't. I wish I could say, yeah, I understand it. I don't understand why we can't just enjoy movies, have a love and passion for the stuff we used to love. And I don't know if it's just there's so much bad stuff going on in the world that everybody just needs to find something to gripe about and turn on each other. I don't understand it, because all the stuff that we had was supposed to be an escapism.
Absolutely. That's what I was just going to say. Entertainment is an escape. It's supposed to be entertaining. Life. Yeah. It's not real life. It's never in the 100+ years entertainment, any form of entertainment has been around. It's never been about real life.
And that, my friend, is where I'm lost. I don't understand it. I truly do not, because there used to be a thing, loyalty, even in the job market where you work, there's no such thing as loyalty anymore. People used to work for a company and had the old 80s, well, even before then, kind of the baby boomer spirit, as much as I hate using that word. where, you know, companies took care of you. You took care of the companies. Everybody was happy. Life was all hunky-dory and all that. And even entertainment, you come home, you watch the stuff. It was great. Roll forward 40, 50, 60 years. It's yep. changed now. There's no loyalty. Corporations just will smack you around and act like they own you and control your life, which let's look at streaming services again on this. Yep. Netflix with Back to the Future. I know I bring this up, but that's one of the best examples that I remember was the Ooh La La scene where they basically rewrote that script because they were like, you know what? Ooh La La seems like it's a bad thing. Don't know how that seems like it's a bad thing.
It's a, what is this, Steve? Like, what would you say? Like under 2 seconds?
It's barely memorable.
I mean, we all remember it because we all love Back to the Future because we're all geeks, but generally somebody watching that movie, that's not the scene that they are going to pick out. The, you know, it's just not kind of thing, you know.
Correct.
It's so minuscule. And the fact that Netflix had to feel like they needed to do, like, no, don't. And again, that's changing somebody's art.
Yes, like, it is.
Like, that's not, no, don't do that. No.
It was, to me, it was morally wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's like, why would you do this knowing what you know now? And I love how Netflix, it's like, we're so sorry, we're so sorry. And they start trying to backtrack on it. In my opinion, this is where consumers should just give them the middle finger. Just like when Netflix keeps raising the prices, Disney Plus has raised prices. And I know at some point I'm going to just start cutting everything.
Again, something we've talked about, and we will get more most likely next week, because this show started off on a weird way this week, but we will get more all about Kai next week in episode 428. But on his show, The Dragon Slayer, over on Kai Dragon Media on YouTube, youtube.com/Kai Dragon Media, we've been talking about physical versus digital media for the last 2.5-3 months, because if I could get physical copies, like I just said earlier in the show, if I get physical copies of Six Underground and The Adam Project, I don't need Netflix. There's nothing on Netflix right now that I feel like I absolutely have to watch. It's just, mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hit or miss for me. Like, I'm kind of that mentality of, you know, I'll find something. But it shouldn't have to.
No, you should never have to.
But I can find something, sure, but do I really want to?
But yeah, I mean, I've got a decent amount of stuff I'll watch on Netflix for the most part. But even then, like, it's still kind of hit or miss. I'll watch it, but it's more so because I have access to it, and then I like some of the previews of some of the shows I've gotten. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that's been nice. But on a whole, like, I don't have a ton that I just have to go after.
I think the other problem, too, when you look at the overall situation with streaming services, is they try to do all these adaptations, or they try to jump into things that they clearly have no idea what they're doing. Think of how much money Netflix has lost with Cowboy Bebop when they tried to do that adaptation. And then, oh, what was that other one they did? One Piece, surprisingly, was successful because it was actually controlled by Japan. They made sure it was not too far from the content. But there was another one that was just god awful. And I've heard Avatar, from what I've heard, just surfing critics, it's not looking very good, promising either. And you pay all this money for these licensing rights to that. Oh, Naruto is going to be now a live action for a streaming service. I don't know which one. I saw that and I was like, no. No. Just no. Please, no. I get Dragon Ball Evolution flashbacks. I'm just like, God, no, please, no. No.
And that's the crazy thing. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And that's the crazy thing. Steve, okay, we kind of saw it, and I know Kai likes it, and I know I kind of like it, and you're kind of whatever. Really, you go back nearly 30 years. Do you ever think we would see a Beast Wars live action anything based on the actual cartoon?
Not really. I mean, I've seen it pop back up in other places.
Right, but my point is like Kai's talking about with Naruto and Cowboy Bebop and everything else, these things started as cartoons or anime or whatever the hell you want to call it. They started as a different type of medium, and then they wanted to bring it into live. Like, Aladdin's a perfect example. I haven't seen the live-action Aladdin. I have no interest in seeing the live-action Aladdin. I'm not making any judgments against the film or against the film because I haven't seen it, but I'm just saying Aladdin in animation. Hey, sure. Cool. Awesome. Aladdin in live action. Why do we need that? Why? What was the purpose of, and the same thing with, I am perfectly fine with certain things being in some form of medium of media and entertainment. I do not, a lot of comic books that I've read that I would love to see animated adaptations to or something like that, but I know it's probably never going to happen, and I'm perfectly fine because I can go read the comic. That's where it's great. That's where it excels. No, it, I don't know. It just, I'm tired, guys. I'm just tired of media. I'm tired of it all.
It's called fatigue. It's just, and these streaming services adaptations, they're just trying so hard to build some type of franchise. I mean, don't get me wrong. I liked when Netflix had control of Marvel and they did Daredevil and Jessica Jones. I really liked those. I thought they did good. I was disappointed in the Defenders, mostly because I felt like it ended too, it just was not.
It was too short. It wasn't long enough. It didn't tell the whole, it didn't have enough breathing room for the story that it wanted to tell. That was the problem with Defenders.
Yes. And then we can bring up Iron Fist. That was just...
he's intentionally doing it now, folks. And if you watch the Dragon's Lair, you'll understand because my eye is just...
It's a twitching.
Yeah, very much so.
Are you feeling it?
Eye twitching fist. God.
Everyone's eye twitched on that. Mm-hmm. Everyone's eye twitched on that. And it's like, what were they thinking? And then you got to realize, oh, they weren't thinking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I really think, and the only reason why I think this is because it was a cool way to do the commercial. There's a trailer for the Defenders where they use, is it all apologies or come as you are? They use a Nirvana. I have the trailer. Anyway, there's a trailer for Defenders where have Luke Cage and Danny Rand. What's the deal with that fist? What's the deal with the blah, 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 where they're talking about each other? That was cool. That was interesting. That is about as interested as I was ever in Iron Fist before and or after his show.
Yeah,
that was it. Just for that one fleeting moment. But yeah, I don't.
And then it was gone. That fleeting moment was gone.
Absolutely. Steve, anything else for the
exhaustion? No, I think that we're just going to hit that threshold now at this point that, you know, things are going to start winding down for some of these services.
Yeah, I think a lot of them will start end up going belly up. It's a matter of time.
Yep.
It's just a matter of time for a lot of them just shutter everything down and say, yep, we're wrong, sorry, and then they just scrap it all.
Yep.
It's going to be belly up and you get no bar. So just because we have to, we're going to send it to a quick ad break and we're going to come back to close the show right after this.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. Slide up to the bar alongside Ryan Daly and a rotating cast of guest hosts as they celebrate the long-running, award-winning television series, one hilarious episode at a time. New episodes of Cheerscast drop every Thursday, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Pixels in the Animation is wrapped on the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Now, TFG and Mike and TV's Mr. Neil head to Hyrule. That's right, listeners, from episode 16 through episode 20 of PETA, Pain in the Ass. We will be covering all 26 episodes of the Legend of Zelda cartoon. Excuse us, podcasters. You can catch Pixels in the Animation every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
And we're back. So let us know what you guys think on this particular episode and on streaming services. Do you think that we're going to continue to get hosed, or do you think that there'll be hope for the future? Hard to tell, especially right now with companies not giving a rip. Let us know what you think. Feedback at geekcastradio.com. And of course, you can find more of us, and especially Kai, over on his show, The Dragon's Lair, on YouTube.
Yep.
Well, you tell the good folks about your show.
Yes.
As a nice little plug here.
Okay. Yeah, so Kai Dragon Media is on YouTube.com. And I cover games. I do a lot of survival and strategy games. So I play those.
also have the Dragon Slayer, where I talk about gaming news, movies, culture, kind of things like that, because pop culture is a popular thing that's not going away. And just try to have a good time and sometimes try to have more positive spin, because not everything is doom and gloom, but right now it seems like it. But, you know, that's what I try to do, is try to add a little light to those little gloomy clouds.
So what he's saying, folks, is he's Optimus Prime and he wants to light our darkest hour. That's what he's saying.
I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if the matrix of leadership's going to work here, guys. I'm sorry.
The lights have gone out.
Yeah.
Sorry. I am Optimus Prime.
And I'm crying now.
So, thank you guys again for, as always, for listening to Alter Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, joined with TFG1 Mike and Kai. So be sure to check out this show on the link in the episode post, and check us out on all of your favorite podcatchers. You can, of course, interact with the show on, well, on Facebook or on geekcastradio.com. And as always, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.